It's interesting to come back here. I can't explain some of the feelings you get when you come back here after being here for about 20 years. But anyway, they are what they are, and it's good to be here and good to share with you what the Lord's placed on my heart. Several months ago, the church I grew up in asked me to pick a Sunday the pastor is going to be out. And I picked a Sunday I had available, and he said, "Well, that's Youth Sunday." I said, "Well, you know, I'm pretty old to be speaking to the youth." But anyway, I said, "Okay." And so I really thought, well, this is a great opportunity. And what would I share, what would I need to hear when I was sitting out there, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, cutting up, being taken out and spanked and all that stuff. And what's one thing that would be good for me to hear? And what would be the one message I would want to share if it was my last message with someone? And so it kind of got me to thinking that really, there's really in life only one thing. Only one thing. And so another thing prompted me is I was sharing during the Learning Center several weeks ago here, and Donald, we were reminiscing a little bit and then brought back the memory of those circles that we used to do. You remember, had the circles of Christ and the marriage and the family and the church and the world. And that's pretty much the centerpiece of our training that we do all around the world. I just got back from China, and God is at work in China. Whew, man, it's unreal what God is doing in China. And it's amazing, these countries like Laos and Vietnam and the communist countries trying to stop Christianity. And I want to tell them, if they want to stop it, just do what we do here in America and just tell them, do whatever you want to do. Meet anytime you want to meet, anywhere you want to meet, how many wants to meet, no problem. Complete, total freedom. And that'll slow it down. But if you want to speed it up, start persecuting. Start putting them in jail and doing those things. And let me tell you, then you got a mess on your hands then. And that's what they got in China. And we met with several family churches and house churches. Family churches being where they meet in a storefront or something like that. Every one of them had been raided before and had to move and move to another place, and the police had come in, and you're always on edge, but God's at work, and I've got another opportunity to go back in a few weeks, in about a month, back to another area in China where God's at work, and it's just amazing to be a part of it and see what God is doing. We finished our material in the Mandarin language, and we're finished in Spanish, our new edition, which is going to be launched in a couple weeks. So much going on, I could take the whole time. But anyway, I think I got a message I would like to share this morning. And I want to read in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, that's interesting that Martha is the one that invited Jesus to the house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this story here that just teaches us so much about what it means to have a relationship with you, and how to deal with distractions, and how to sit at your feet, Lord, and listen to you. We pray, God, that the Holy Spirit, who you left, would be in control of this service, that he would teach us and change and transform our lives into listeners, into the image of Christ. We just commit this time to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, like I said, when we started Fellowship Bible Church, that was the centerpiece, was those circles. And I have been teaching that all over the world and for years. And just to show you as an example, some of the places we've placed, I don't have them all, but just a few here, if I can. Here's in Cambodia, and here again, we're teaching the center is our personal relationship with Christ, then the marriage and the family and the church and the world. Another one would be in India. This was actually many years ago, on a chalkboard. And here again, we're emphasizing Christ as the center of everything in our life. And next one. And this was in teaching leaders in Algeria and Morocco and Libya and Egypt. And they had done a great job on putting this together. But again, the personal relationship with the Lord being the centerpiece. And this is in South America here, again, emphasizing the personal relationship with the Lord, walking with the Lord, spending time with the Lord Jesus. We're going to get there. Okay, and this is in Vietnam, again. Out of all of our teaching, this is the center, Christ in you, our relationship with Christ. Okay? And this is in Africa, Zambia. Again, center of our teaching, the cross. You know, it's interesting. I like that cross being there because, you know, today we hear the gospel without the cross. But the gospel without the cross is no gospel at all. You might learn more something about that next week. Okay, let me just leave it right there. This is similar to what we've taught here before. So if you say that's the centerpiece of your teaching, then I've got to confess to you that I got off track. And I got off track. And you say, well, how do you get off track with this? How do you miss that if it's right in the center of everything you do, your family, your marriage, the church, everything? How do you get off of that? Because, I think we all know now this is the center. All that matters in life is Christ. Seek Him first. Spending time with Jesus. That's like throwing a rock in the water and it just comes out like that. It's like a tsunami or something. That impacts every aspect of our lives. But looking back, I wanted to share with you because some of you have been a part of my life. And you've been a part of this because we were a part of each other's lives. So I just want to share with you some ways that we can get off, that we need to be careful. Believe it or not, we can get off right there. We can spend time with the Lord. We can read His Word, be in His Word, and be very biblical and be off. I know. Even Jesus told the Pharisees that they searched the Scriptures, and in the Scriptures they thought they had eternal life. So we can interact with God's Word. We can be in His Word. We can know His Word. We can even obey His Word, or at least try, and miss the intimacy with Christ. And I know at one time I thought, you know, we're very biblical. We're probably more biblical than any church around. And yet, miss it. Miss the very heart of what the Christian life is about. And the heart of the Christian life is intimacy with Christ. having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, I remember when I was in business years ago, before I became a believer, tire business in Apex and Cary in Durham, and I was not a Christian. I saw many Christians, but one day a gentleman came in my store by the name of Sam Rome, and some of you have heard this story, and I looked at him, and I saw something different about him, and I went home, and I told Edith, I said, I don't know what he's got, but I want that. I want that. That's what I want. There was something different. At least in my mind, I was seeing something different. I was not even a believer. I was not even a Christian. And I saw something different in him. And of course, looking back now, I know what I saw. I saw a man that had a relationship, a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, with God through Jesus Christ. That's what I saw. And that's what I wanted. And that's what I was hungering for. And you know, it's interesting today that if you think about that, even non-believers know if we're real or not. They can spot it. If we're just a Christian on the outside, they know. They might not really understand that, but they know. In other words, you don't really need the Holy Spirit to discern that. That's amazing. So, we can miss this. We can be having a quiet time. We can be even preaching and teaching His Word and be missing the heart of Christ. The other thing is we can miss it in another way. We can get so involved with our family that our family becomes more important than our relationship with Jesus. Even our marriage, even our children can become more important, and they can distract us from sitting at the feet of Jesus. I know. It's happened with me, and I've seen it happen with others. So that's a danger. The other thing is church. Yes. You know, Martha fixing that meal, was anything wrong with that? Certainly not. And she got busy doing something that was good, but yet she forgot the most important thing. And I look back and I see many times I got involved in the church. You can get involved in evangelism. You can get involved in serving and doing many different things in the church, good things. And you can even, like Martha, you can invite Jesus into your life. And yet, be so busy that you're missing this. Martha, Martha, and we could put our name at any one of those areas. You're so distracted. You're so anxious. You're so busy about so many things when I like what he says. One thing is necessary. One thing. Jesus didn't say two things. He didn't say three. He didn't say four. He didn't say five. He said one thing is necessary. And you know, the older I get, the more simple I get. And you know, it really comes down. It's very simple. If you get this right, you have nothing to worry about. You don't have to worry about your marriage. You don't have to worry about your family. You don't have to worry about the church. And you don't have to worry about the world. If you get this right, that's all that's necessary. Now, we're very prone to go out here and deal with symptoms. Problems in the church, problems in the marriage, problem in the family, problems in the world, the workplace. We get involved. They're symptoms. They're symptoms. Every problem in this world today, every problem in the world, every problem in the family, every problem in the church, every problem in the marriage, every problem that every human being has on this planet is due to one thing, and that is sin. That's it. Sin. And you know what? There's only one solution, one answer to deal with that problem of sin, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not simple? That's my message at 72 years old. If I had delivered my last message or to that young person sitting out there like I was, that's the message I want them to know. One problem, sin. One solution, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we get this right, everything will be right. Jesus said one thing is necessary. I can't get over that. That just really is hard to believe. That's only one thing is necessary to get your marriage, to get your family, to get the church, to get whatever it is in your life you're going through. Only one thing is necessary. Only one. I love that. I love that. And you know something else? He said, only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the what? The best. Oh my goodness. There's so many things people today are searching in the world. They want this, they want that, that car, that house, that boat, all that stuff people want. I can tell you the best thing in life that you can have, that you can pursue, that you can seek, the best, that's not me saying, Jesus said the best thing, the creator of this universe, Jesus Christ, who knows everything, he's all knowledge, he's omniscient, he's everything, says the best thing in life is sitting at the feet of Jesus, is having an intimate personal relationship with the Lord. That's the best thing we can do. And it's the one thing necessary. And he also adds a third thing in there that just really, if that doesn't get you excited, if that doesn't let you just eager to spend time with the Lord, he says, what she is doing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, will not be taken away from her. Let me tell you, you get a house, you get money, you get a bank account, you get a car, you get all these things in life. Your health, you pursue health, you pursue all this. Every one of those things can be taken away from you. Everything. Everything that the world is after today, peace, everything, can be taken away from you. But when you are living right there, that cannot be taken away from you. Ruth, you're smiling. Amen. I want to say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm not one to be jumping up and down, but if there's anything that would ever make me jump up and down, that would. Because that's so simple. That's so easy. So, you know, would you agree that's the most important thing you can do in life? And you know what? The most important thing you can do in life is something that everyone can do. I don't care how much education you got. I don't care if you're 6, 7, 8 years old. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You can spend some time with Jesus. Most important thing we can do is something we all can do. The playing field's level at that point. And we have different ways. Someone might read through the whole Bible. Somebody might read a chapter. Many different ways. It may be just sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. Okay, what is that one thing? Why have the one thing? Because it's the most important thing. It's the one thing necessary. One thing necessary in life. And it's the best, and it's eternal. Now the question is, how? How do we do this? How can I really experience that? I want to experience that. I want to experience that. That's what I want. I hope we all want that. If you don't want that, I hope the Lord puts in us the want to want that. And I can't say every morning or every time I spend time with the Lord that I'm all excited about spending time with the Lord. No, there's times I go through the desert. I hope that's normal. But let me tell you something. Eventually, the feelings get there. And oh, what a joy it is. You know, really, the deserts are so good because it really helps us drink of that living water. It creates a thirst and a hunger for God. So they're all good. God takes it. He understands. He knows. Mary sets us an example. Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. She's listening. That's one thing we do. She's humble. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's teachable. She's eager to hear. That's what we got to be. Lord, what do you want to say to me? I want to hear from you, Lord. I need a word from God. I need a word from heaven. I need something, Lord. And Lord, you teach me. I'll change. I will change. And then another thing I can tell you, I remember 2007, I met Henry Blackaby. And experiencing God, we went through that here years ago, experiencing God. And I asked Henry Blackaby, he was in his 70s then, and I said, you know, every time I see you, your relationship, you're so excited about the Lord. Your relationship is just like somebody that just got married. I mean, they're so excited. I want to know, how do you do that? How do you maintain that relationship with the Lord, that excitement, that zeal, that freshness? How do you do that? He said, well, Tim, when I was 17 years old, I decided right then that if I was going to walk close with the Lord and with the Lord and have a relationship with Him, I was going to have to get up every morning, plan my day around having a quiet time with the Lord. And you know, that spoke to me. And I most time had a quiet time, but sometimes I would miss and here and there. Let me tell you something. When he told me that, I set my mind to do the same thing. I can tell you that you're not going to make it with the Lord if you don't have a daily time with the Lord. You're just not going to make it. I'm just telling you, you will not make it. It's hard enough to make it when you are having a daily quiet time. It's just, you got to. You know, in Matthew, in Mark 1:30, chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says that Jesus got up. You remember, when did he get up? Early in the morning, and where did he go? To an isolated or quiet place to spend time with his Father. Family, I'll call you family. I'm not going to say friends. Let me tell you, if Jesus had to do that, we've got to do that. Try it. Just try it. Develop it. And I tailor my evening around where I'm going to get up early in the morning. And it's become my favorite time of the day. I mean, there's mornings I can't hardly wait to get up and get a cup of coffee. I mean, to spend time with the Lord. I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't have a cup of coffee with Him. But let me tell you, it is a rich time. And like I said, there's times that it's desert time sometimes. But we hang in there. We persevere by faith. And joy comes in the morning, and He blesses us. And so He didn't say, give me my weekly bread, but my daily bread. That's what He said. And so we can look at Mary, and we can see her attitude and what she was doing and develop that time with the Lord. It's just so necessary, so necessary. I just can't stress that enough. And, you know, abiding in Christ, so many things that the Bible talks about, that we're branches, he's the vine, we abide in Him. I want to close with something that's very important. You do not have to ever worry about, I wonder if God wants to see me this morning. I wonder if God wants to spend time with me today. He may be busy or I may be whatever, I don't know. Let me tell you something. God wants you to sit at his feet and spend time with him anytime. Anytime. He's always there. He loves that. He wants it. You know how we know he wants that bad? Because he sent his only one and only son to die on the cross, take our sins, was buried, and the third day he rose. That's how bad he wants a relationship with us. That's how bad he wants us to live in Christ. In Christ. That's, would you give your only son or daughter for someone like me to have a relationship with a holy, awesome God? That's how much he wants that. He wants that. Even in the Garden of Eden, when you remember when Adam and Eve sinned, and what did they do? They took off, they hid, they'd sinned against God. What was God doing? Hello, where are you? What have you done? Did he know where they were? He knew where they were. He knew what they'd done. Let me tell you, he knows what you've done. He knows where you're at. And I'm telling you, he's still calling, where are you? Why? Because God wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve. So many places in the Bible, we see him just after that relationship. I mean, look at the prodigal son. Look at the if there was 100 sheep and one sheep went astray, what would he do? He would leave the 99 in open vulnerability and he would go after that one. He would go after you. Pat, you remember, he went after us, didn't he? God went after us, didn't he? And he will go after you. Just one. You mean he would leave everybody here and go chase? Yes, he would. Why? Because he wants us to have a relationship with him. How about the coin, the lady that lost the coin? And she's sweeping and got the light looking for that coin. She finds, oh, here it is. Here's my coin. I found it. I was looking. That's how God is when we come and sit at his feet and listen to him and spend time with him. Don't ever have to worry about God wanting to spend time with you. Or if you ever go astray, which could happen to any of us, you always remember the prodigal son. Prodigal son took his inheritance, went off, spent it all. Said, I want nothing to do with my father, my house, and nothing. Give me my inheritance. He goes and he loses everything. And he's even eating with the pigs. And he said, I wonder if I could go home. No. Well, even the servants had food at home. No, there's no way he'd take me back. No way would my father take me back. Let me tell you something. Not only will he take you back, the prodigal son, when he turned and headed towards home, the Bible says that his father saw him a long ways off. What did his father do? Ran. There's a song, The Day God Ran. That is the type God we have. That's the God that we have. I'm so thankful for that. That's unbelievable, really. That's unbelievable that he would take his hair, spend it all, nothing to do with you, and then I'm telling you, if anything ever happens or if it doesn't happen or whatever and you're concerned about whether God will receive me, I tell you, all you got to do is just turn around. And he will go running towards you and pick you up in his arms. And he will love you. He will accept you. He will kill the fatted calf. He'll have a celebration. My son or daughter who was lost has come home. Ah, what an awesome God we've got. What a loving God. What a great God he is. In closing, you know, there was the disciples. You remember there was 70 disciples he sent out first. And they had one relationship. But, you know, the other disciples, when he called the 12, Mark 3:14 says he called the 12 to be with him so he could send them out. To be with him so he could send them out. So we got the 70, and then we got the 12 that would spend time with Jesus, and then we've got three. You remember those three? Who were those three? Peter, James, and John. They were on a different level. They went in to see some things that Jesus did and went with him in places where the others didn't go. And then you had one that sat on the bosom of Jesus. Who was that? John. You know, you have the 70. Maybe think of yourself, where are you at? Are you in the 70, the 12, the 3, or the 1? You know, you can be the 1. You can be the 1. We're as close to God as we want to be. It's never a problem on His side. I'm just, if I had advice to give someone in life, there's only one thing. Seek Him first, and all, not some things, all things will be added to you. If we just remember this one thing, that's it. That's it. Everything else will fall into place. I know when I got saved, Edith and I had the worst marriage. I don't know. It was terrible. 10 years we were married without Jesus, without. And, you know, it's amazing. When I got saved, everything, I mean, we didn't have to. It's just everything fell into place. I mean, not to say we don't have a perfect marriage, you know. But, I mean, at least we're saved now. We can forgive each other. But anyway, I hope this speaks to you and helps us not get distracted by the things of the world, even by good things in the church, even our family, even our marriage, even, you know, we got to be careful. Just seek the one thing, the one thing, the one thing, and everything else will fall into place. It will. If it's real, let the symptoms of problems, don't deal with symptoms. They're just putting a Band-Aid over cancer. Don't deal with symptoms. Go back to the core issue. And because we know the problem is sin, and the solution is the blood of Christ, there's only one thing necessary, and that is the best thing we can do in life. The best thing you can do in life. I don't care whether you're old, young, whatever, it doesn't matter. The best thing you can do in life is spend time with Jesus. And that's a little taste of heaven, because that will not be taken away from you. No one can take that relationship, that time you spend with Jesus. No one can take that away from you. Nobody. Nobody. So, Jesus said one thing. Not two, not three, not four, not five. One thing. And that's something we all can do. Spend time with the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You're always there, willing to, if we just turn to You, Lord, You will go running after us, Lord, and pick us up and hug us and take us into Yourself, Lord, into Christ. We thank You for that, Lord. Thank You that You love us with an everlasting love. And Lord, I just pray for all of us, Lord, if we're going through some difficult times or hard times, or we fall back or whatever may happen, Lord, may we never forget that You're there with Your arms stretched out to receive us. Anytime You will take us back, because that's who You are, because You're God. And You're a God of everlasting love. You're a God who loved us so much that You gave Your only Son to die on that cross, that we might have forgiveness of sins, that we might come into Your presence, that we might have a relationship with You. Lord, we thank You for the resurrected Christ. We thank You that You left the Holy Spirit here to enable us, to empower us to spend time with You and to obey Your word and be transformed by Your word into the image of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.